This evening, Dr. Randall Everett will present our message to the graduates. He is the executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, a position he assumed in April of last year. Dr. Everett graduated from Ouachita Baptist University, and then he went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he received both the Master of Divinity and Doctor of Ministry degrees. In 2001, he was recognized by the University of Richmond with an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree. He began his ministry on the staff at First Baptist Church of Dallas before being called as pastor of First Baptist Church in Gonzales, Texas. He has also pastored churches in Grand Prairie, Texas, Benton, Arkansas, Fort Worth, Texas, Pensacola, Florida, and Falls Church, Virginia. Most recently, he was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Newport News, Virginia. He was the founding president of the John Leland Center for Theological Studies, a fully accredited program based in Washington, D.C., the only accredited Baptist seminary in the nation's capital. Dr. Everett met his wife, Sheila, while they were both students at Southwestern Seminary, and she has been an integral part of his ministry and growth as a Christian. She originated the idea for the Leland Center in Washington and has a passion for young adult learners. The Everetts have two children. Their son, Jeremy, is married to Amy Miley, both of whom are Truett graduates. Jeremy is the director of the Texas Hunger Initiative at the Center for Family Community Ministries at Baylor University. Amy is the Community Ministries Coordinator at Calvary Baptist Church here in Waco, Texas. The daughter, Rachel, lives in Florida with her husband, Eric, and she is completing a PhD in philosophy from Vanderbilt University. Dr. Everett, we are grateful for your many years of service and of ministry. We are honored by your presence at this service, and we welcome you as you challenge our graduates.
Thank you, Dr. Tucker, Dr. Garland, and Dr. Davis. Michael, congratulations. What an incredible honor that must be. But to all the faculty, the staff, especially the graduating students, you don't know how excited we are as Texas Baptists to see you graduating and ready to go throughout our state and throughout our nation, throughout our world, sharing the hope of Christ with people who very desperately need to know the hope of Christ and want to know Him. I think many are eager to hear this good news that you'll be sharing with them. The others of you who are students here at Truett, to the Regents, we appreciate you being here and your leadership at Baylor University. Baylor is so strategic to the work of Texas Baptist. To the family members and church staff who are involved in the pilgrimage of faith with these students, what an honor it is for me to be with you today. The Truett Seminary has been important in our lives for a number of years. When my wife and I were involved in starting the Leland Center in D.C., it was the staff and faculty of the Truett Center, Truett Seminary, that really helped us to understand the steps that a new institution should take. Brad Creed, who was the dean at that time, even came and spoke. He had done his PhD dissertation on John Leland, and so he was the speaker at one of our founding ministry opportunities. Tomorrow they'll be celebrating their 10th anniversary at the Leland Center, so I appreciate the sisterhood between the two schools, and you pray for them as they try to do the same thing that we're doing here in Texas and equipping leaders for our world. D. Hock was the one who created Visa. I really resent him for that. Visa's gotten a lot of us in trouble since then, but he also wrote the book The Birthing of the Chaotic Age. He invented the word chaotic. It is a hybrid word between the words chaos and order. And he was saying that we're living in chaotic times, and we certainly are. It's not exactly chaos. There are times when it appears to be, with all of the challenges that we face in society and the globalization, the rapidly changing technology, the information explosion that happens around the world 24/7. In this somewhere near chaos, but not quite yet order, in the in-between time is when we as Christ followers, I believe, and particularly we with our Baptist heritage, have a tremendous opportunity to make a profound impact on our world. This year that you're graduating, in 2009, is the 400th anniversary of the founding of Baptist. And I think you'll be able to look back on our Baptist foreparents and see some of the legacy that they leave for us, but yet learning what we can from them, realizing that we live in a brand new day. We live in a day of opportunities that I believe are unprecedented, an opportunity where the hope of Christ can literally transform our churches, our families, our communities, and our world. There are mission opportunities available today that were never available before, as not only vocational missionaries are sent around the world, but laypersons, followers of Christ, as engineers, as professors, as doctors, or teachers, or military personnel, are spread around the world, learning from Christ followers in other lands, and also being able to share our own pilgrimage of faith. These are chaotic times. I don't believe that many of us signed up to live in the world in which we find ourselves. The rapid changing technology. I'm somewhat grateful for emails, but I believe I could spend my whole life just responding to emails. Well, grudgingly coming into the email, then there are the bloggers, and then there's Facebook, and then there are the tweeters. And how do we keep up with one another in communication and conversations? The awareness of what's going on around the world, living in a global community now, when someone hurts in Bangladesh, we know about it here. When someone is oppressed in one area of the world, like in the Sudan, it becomes a burden for us as well. In this world in which we live, changes are taking place rapidly. I heard just recently a woman who said, I miss singing the old songs at church, like, Lord, I lift your name on high. I wondered where that put me when she was wondering about this age in which we live. With the rapidity of change, the way we do business, the way we share information, the way we do worship, the way we do missions, there are plenty of opportunities for us today to engage in fresh, meaningful dialogue. As Texas Baptists, we have some phenomenal resources. We're part of a family of 5,600 congregations. We have 9 universities, of which Baylor is by far the largest, in many ways the most strategic. We have children's homes that minister to over 300,000 children every year globally. We have 6 hospital systems. All of these things that are resources are part of our Texas Baptist family. Now, how do we hand these off to you? How do you bring an awareness of your heritage, but also a fresh perspective today that will allow us to engage our society in a meaningful way and in a new and a fresh way that will help us to be the people of God in our kingdom assignments? Well, in Hebrews 12, 1-3, we have some encouragement about the kind of people that we're to be as leaders who are of the apostolic traditions. When we see this verse, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, if you're going to be an apostolic leader in our world today, you must have a worldview. It cannot be just a provincial community view. What is happening, what has happened historically, and what is happening globally? You are already aware, obviously, that you're not the first generation of the church. We have 20 centuries of incredible experiences and opportunities where the church engaged with theology and engaged with culture in a way that pronounced Jesus in a profound and a relevant way. Who are these people, the people like in Hebrews 11, the heroes, the men and women of faith? Who are those in our own Christian traditions and even in our Baptist heritage? We need to know who Thomas Helwys was and who John Smith was. Why did they start the first church in Amsterdam in 1609? Why is separation of church and state so important to us when Thomas Helwys in 1612 in England wrote a small little treatise on the mystery of iniquities, a treatise on the mystery of iniquities. And in it, he talked about religious freedom, and for that, King James, for which many of us have spent our whole lives defending, threw him into Newgate Prison where he would never leave. He gave his life for a principle that to respond to Christ is not something that can be done through coercion by the state, but it's something that must be a personal response to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a transformative way. Who are these heroes of ours like Roger Williams or here in this area? Who was George Truett and the profound impact he made on the church in the United States in the 20th century? Not just the Baptist church, but the whole family of churches. The Bagbys, a street here is named for the Bagbys, and it was Ann Bagby first, and then her husband, who were called to be missionaries in Brazil. And today there are thousands of Brazilian Baptist churches because a couple accepted God's claim on their life and embarked in a pilgrimage of faith. If you're going to be an apostolic leader, you must have a worldview that encompasses the past. But it also must be a global view. I believe that the most significant events of faith today, in many ways, are not happening in Western Europe and North America. Not many years ago, we were the ones who took the good news of Christ to pagan lands where they had never heard about the Lord. But today, revival is taking place. More people are coming to Christ every day today than ever in the history of Christianity. The significant number of Muslims who are coming to Christ every day around the world is astonishing. But the revival seems to be taking place in Africa and in Asia and in Latin America and in different places. And so we, as we go around the world, we do want to go as teachers, but we must go as learners. Listen to their stories. Hear their faith pilgrimage. We're not in this by ourselves. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It's not something that is done, ministry is not something that is done in solitary or as an individual, but within the context of the whole bride of Christ. If you're going to be apostolic leaders, in addition to worldview, you must be willing to take risks. Almost all of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 paid significantly for the challenge to follow Christ. I hear people say that the safest place to be is in the will of God. How wrong. Oftentimes, the most dangerous place to be is in the will of God. And so God will call us to risky places and dangerous enterprises. But if we're going to make a difference in the lives of the world in which we are to bring the good news, then we must be willing to take those risks. I believe some that preceded Baptists, the Anabaptists, are our parents in many ways. In Zurich, there were a group of young men, 15 young men, who were studying with Zwingli. And as they studied the scriptures, they believed that it didn't go far enough. Baptism wasn't something that happened to an infant. It was something that happened to a believer, a follower of Christ. So they broke away from Zwingli, and they began, they met at the home of Felix Mantz and George Blaurock baptized them after Conrad Grebel had baptized him, and forming a community of transformed believers. Felix Mantz, though, who hosted this first gathering in his home, 2 years later would be executed by the authorities in Zurich, drowning him in the frigid waters of the river in Zurich, Lake Zurich, because of his insistence on baptism, being baptism by believers. They bound him hand and foot, and even as they took him to the boat, he continued to preach the hope of Christ to all those who would listen to him. But he paid for it with his life. We must be willing to take risk. We must be willing to live lives of simplicity. Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. We become so encumbered with debt. We become so encumbered with possessions that when God calls us to do something that's new and do something that's fresh and do something that's daring, many times we're not freed to go or freed to respond to Christ. Dave Scott won the Hawaiian Triathlon 6 years in a row. This athlete ran 17 miles, swam 20,000 meters, and he rode a bicycle 75 miles every day. I think he needed to get a life. I can't imagine anything like that happening, you know. But as obsessed as he was just with winning the Hawaiian triathlon, when he ate cottage cheese, now to me, I don't believe cottage cheese was ever intended to be eaten. I think a bachelor looked in his refrigerator one night and saw something growing there that at once had been edible, and they made a whole industry out of that. But Dave Lyons, who all those things every day, going through all the experience that he went through, before he ate his cottage cheese, he rinsed away any excess fat to make sure he wouldn't be encumbered when he ran his race. You need simple lifestyles, pushing aside the busyness and the toys and the possessions and the indebtedness that weight us down, and run with endurance. We need to be men and women, if we're going to be apostolic leaders, with pure hearts. In Ephesians 5:3 and following, it says, put away immorality and impurity and greed and silliness of talk and filthiness in our lives. We need men and women who know they belong to Jesus Christ and who live lives of holiness and righteousness, who will not succumb to the temptations of the world or the worries or the affections of the world. But we, our focus will be on Christ, and we, our desire will be to live for him and to live like him. If we're going to be apostolic leaders, we're going to have to be willing to run with endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Someone has said the most difficult thing about life, it's just so daily. I think it would be easier to give our lives as a martyr, to stand up in front of the granite wall and not deny our faith, and they shoot us down at the wall. It would be easier to do that than day after day after day say yes to Christ in whatever the calling is that he's called us, endurance. But the most important thing, if we're going to be apostolic followers of Christ, it's to fix our eyes on Jesus. We've got an incredible Baptist heritage. We have wonderful resources that are around us, but our focus is not on being Baptist. Our focus is not on being pastor. Our focus is not on church growth. Our church is not on evangelism. Our focus is on Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He started it in you. He will perfect it in you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. We desperately need for God to use you as apostolic leaders of faith in this tremendous age of opportunity. By the grace of God, even tonight, as you're awarded for the tremendous academic sacrifices that you've made, recommit yourselves as followers of Jesus to say yes to him, whatever the calling, and by the grace of God, live for his fullness. We're proud of you. You're in our prayers. We send you out with great anticipation and hope. God bless you.